بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بهشت آجا باشد که کاره نباشد، کسی را با کسی حاجت نباشد. What is جنت؟ جنت is the place there is no need. جنت is the place when nobody depends on the other. That's jannat. There's no need, it's a needless place, and you don't need anybody. So this world can become a reflection of jannah. The way I conduct myself, I don't need anybody. I'm not in anybody's way. I'm not asking for favors. I'm not showing my needs. So when I'm not showing my needs to anybody, not showing any dependence, you meet me, you meet me free, and I meet you with an easy mind. But if I know that I'm going to meet this person, let's hope nothing comes up. Now, you don't want to meet the person. Why? Because you're going to meet him and then something may come up, then you'll feel obligated. Hey, I need to see this thing here, I need to see this thing there. And many people are like that. You express to them your need, and until they haven't accomplished, then they feel obligated. They feel a burden that we haven't done this, we haven't executed. But if we conduct ourselves in a way, I don't need anything from you. My needs are with Allah Ta'ala alone. Ma as'alukum alayhi min ajr. No, I don't need anything. But I'm at ease. As Mawlana Thani Sahib Rahmatullahi says, that generally, I will not take guidance from my wife. But one thing, you know, I couldn't dispute with her. So I had to go for a safar. And like a student, Hazrat Mawlana Thani's tabiat and mizaj was like a student. What is deed now? You just put that, put in your bag, and you carry on. So now, he wasn't that person now, you know, I'm going here, for example, I'm going to Belito, then I need to dress up like this, this is the shadow of the topi, that's how the turban has to be. And though I'm going to appear before a TV screen, I have to draw up for that occasion. Mard bhi samaj, mard bhi bhool gaye ki wo doll nahi hai. Men began to think that they are dolls. Women are dolls, not you. That you have to also doll up. It's not about being untidy, but you don't have to have a very formal look for yourself, dignified, have a pannier and a golden frame, that type of topi. That's sort of for a man. More informal, simple clothing. So his family reprimanded him. You can't carry on like this. You can't wear this type of clothing. So what's wrong with this clothing? He says, you can wear this simple clothing, then one murid will think, you know, Hazrat is in constraints, so he'll make one kurta. Another murid will feel even constraints, so he needs one shoe. So everybody will try to make your khidmat. Right? So if you just dress up very well, the other thing, Hazrat is in a very well state. You know? So just have one, two clothing that is dressed, that's very well sewn, the shoes also very well. So when you're out on safar, when you're putting on those type of clothing, they feel Hazrat is very well looked after, he doesn't need anybody's generosity. But even though wear that little bit of a clothing that is a little bit not right, not to their standards, then they will feel constrained that we need to do something to pick up Hazrat's standards. So just pick up the standard when you're going out only for my sake. That's when I had no argument for that. So she said this, although I didn't listen to her, but I had no answer for that. So this is jannat. I'm not expressing my needs, not directly, not indirectly. I'm feeling absolutely relaxed, at ease, not discreetly, not subtly. In any way, I'm not showing any need. So the person that is coming, he also feels, it's not a material thing, it's not a commercial thing. Otherwise, that student that is coming, that murid that is coming, he feels it's a material thing. I must get something. And then they'll quote this. Jo khali aya, wo khali gaya. You came empty, you go empty. So it is a statement made in tasawwuf. But what does it mean? Jo khali aya, wo khali gaya. Came empty, he went empty. So what does it mean? It means, who came empty of ikhlas, then he goes empty of any type of a good. So when you're coming in, come with ikhlas, with sincerity, with a clean, clear mind. Don't come with a contaminated mind. The mind of all type of other type of thoughts and other type of agendas. Now, some people used it in their favor. Come empty, you'll go empty. So I have to pay as though, you know, I was in our surat house, you know, one day. So there was a Hindu, the one that was taking care of the house, he was a convert Muslim. So his uncle was still a Hindu. Bache, they used to call him. So that Bache came to us one day. We students, we came from Madrasa now, it was an Eid holiday or something, so we came for 1-2 days. So that Bache came, and he's what pulled up his face, and said, you know, hey, this person, I owe him 5 rupees, you know. So please make a plan, give me that 5 rupees. So one of us took out the 5 rupees, gave it to him. Gave it to him, he came after 2 hours or so. So he says, you know what? He gave, you know, real swear words, you know. Where we say F and B, they use the S word, you know. He gave it. He said, Bache, what happened? He said, you see, that priest that we got, for me to do the prayers, I have to see him right. You know, if I don't see him right, you know, that as though I don't have wuzu to do the namaz. It's like a precondition. You know, you have wuzu. Without wuzu, you can't imagine a namaz. So in order to do the prayer, I have to see him right. Then I can open the prayer. This person here now, he's on the way. You know, I can't get through my things if I don't see him right. So I didn't have any debts to settle, but this was the problem. So Islam becomes a commercialized thing. So the person that is instructing, he also needs to make it clear, but this is not commercialized, it's not a material agenda, it is not for anything materialistic. Right? It is for a higher plane. One murid, he came and reported his dream to his Hazrat. Hazrat, you know what? I saw a dream. Now, what's your dream? Hazrat, you know, your hands were soaking in honey, and my hands were soaking in excreta. He said, yeah, you people are dunyadar, man. You people are dunyadar, full of the dunya. That's what you saw. And me after, I'm only in deen, you know. So I said, the dream didn't end there. The dream carried on. And you were licking my fingers, and I was looking your fingers. Whether it's a made-up dream or it's a real dream, but it's a reflection. And what is it reflecting? That the peer also became dunyadar. He came after, he's looking after this person's wealth. And the murid, whatever he was, but he's looking after deen. He's looking for deen, and this person is looking for dunya. So the whole thing is reversed. The ikhlas and the niyat has its effect. So you come in sincere, come in think properly. Some simple things you can understand, sort out yourself. In the light of the principles that the Shaykh has taught you, apply yourself, you can do it. Every simple thing, somebody's on the phone, my granny's toes are paining, all this do. By that you can sort out yourself, that's a doctor's work, not my work. So every simple little thing you're going to ask, obviously, I think you're overstepping the mark. Think now, alright, can I find a problem, can I find a solution, how is it, do I do it, do I not do it? And sometimes it happens that a phone comes at a very awkward time. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu, he's in the midst of some program, for a very important program, and one couple comes in to sort out the domestic problem, or a domestic thing, and it's carrying on. Abu Bakr radiallahu got affected at that time, and he says to them, here, Rome and Persia are like lions and wolves with their mouths open to devour Islam. And you people asking about small little things. Can't you guys sort yourselves out. My fikr is consumed with this one power here, one other power here. What they're doing to Islam, what they wish to do, I'm trying to smash them down. I'm trying to move them away. Small little things, now you come into jam, the whole process. So try and understand, try and see, try and work out things. Small things, we can sort ourselves. I don't say in everything, now you must sort yourself out. Do, and it's like they say, ittila and ittiba. You apply and follow. We apply and follow. Emulate and relate. Relate and emulate. Relate and emulate. You keep carrying on doing it. So as you relate and emulate, you begin to understand things. And the Shaykh also, his rapport with you improves. When you relate, provided you relate and emulate. But now and then you relate, now and then you don't relate, then that rapport doesn't work so well. There isn't such a good communication. When there isn't that good communication, then you don't find that type of benefit. See, for the benefit to come in, there needs to be an excellent rapport. Open mind, open heart. Then you see the benefit coming in 100%. It may be that you're not practicing everything, but your mind is like transformed. So your niyat is very good, excellent. You're wanting to do that opportunity, you want to do it. Your mind is in it, right? You want to do it, you're waiting for an opportunity, your mind is agreeable, as though you are already subjected yourself, whatever it is, I'm going to do it. Then you couldn't do 100%, you did 50%, but you did. And there was a whole transformation in the mind. But now how this happens is by relating and emulating. Relating and emulating. In the words of Al-Mu'tamir, ittila and ittiba. Without that, it becomes difficult. The process is difficult. It may come, but you will not get that type of benefit. You will get, I don't say you don't get the benefit, but according to your contribution is the benefit. See, Allah's promise, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا ذَنْ لَنَهْدِيَنَا. So this is, it's a jumla shartiya. You do it, and this is what we will do for you. You will open the ways, but you must strive. The strive doesn't mean any strive. You strive, and the strive must be right for the right results to come. For the right results to come, then you make the right type of striving. You want an aircon here, or you want a fan here, right? The right type of approaches are required. If you put plumbing material and you want an aircon to work, it's not going to work. Although you say, no, I'm striving, I put proper aircon, plumbing material, but the approach was incorrect. When the approach is incorrect, you're not going to get that type of effect coming. So, Hazrat Mu'tawi Sahib Rahmatullah, this was his emphasis, by open that communication. The communication is getting jammed up because you're not relating. When you're not relating now, how do you expect me to transform the whole good onto you? I need to transform and to pass it on to you. But I can pass it on to you to the level of your commitment. You commit and you see what's happening, you see what's going on, how I'm taking to it, then the Shaykh's heart opens out to you. And as you're opening more, the heart opens out even more. As you're opening out more, and the heart opens out more to you, more and more to you, then this person is taking, like how the mother, right? It will feed the child according to the child's response. She's feeding very well, taking on, digesting, so the mother wants to feed again. And as she's giving the second feeding, the child is taking again, so the mother wants to feed. Because the child is taking on very well. But if the child is not taking on, he's burping, he's throwing up, he's getting indigestion, getting constipated, and he's not showing responses of digestion, can the mother, with all her compassion and love, can she feed this child? She can't feed. So the same thing happens here. You show that you're responding, you show that level of appreciation, that I'm taking it fully. You're digesting it, you want to get more. And you want to give more, and more, and more, until that person becomes complete one day. So you begin to think the same. The words of the hadith, you become the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, the ears of Allah Ta'ala. What is meant by the ears of Allah Ta'ala? In other words, your thinking is like how Allah Ta'ala wants it to be. Your seeing is like how Allah Ta'ala wants to be. Your hands are working like how Allah Ta'ala would like it. So as though it's your body, you the front, but it is Allah Ta'ala that is working within you. You are just the front. See? But who's working behind you? It's Allah Ta'ala that's working behind you. So you're just the front. You're nothing more than the front, right? One student he came to Hazrat Montani Sallallahu. In India, the madrasas, they have capacity. Even here also, it has a capacity. You can take 100 students, 200 students, 300 students. At some point, you have to say, no, I cut off. I can't do more than this. Because this is what I have got. I can feed so much. I can find a boarding for so much. And this is what I can manage. Beyond this, I can't manage. So at a point, they will have to say to the students that we can't manage beyond this. Then the student says, all right, the food, etc., I will sort myself out. And in India, it happens with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Just in every street or so, you'll find a masjid. So if you don't find a sleeping place in the boarding, you can find a masjid. Somewhere you'll find, you'll sort yourself out. So the boy will say, as far as the boarding, I'll sort myself out. The feeding, what they do, is the townspeople also come in, and they know the virtue of taking care of a student, right? So everybody is anxious to get some sawab, right? I will do according to my means, he will do according to his means. But when that person turns out to be an alim, the bayaz is giving, whatever he's teaching, the hafiz is making, proportionately it's your sawab, because you help the student out, right? When you help him out, so he became something one day. When he became something one day, and he delivered, so proportionately, you got a share in whatever he's done. So they look at it broadly. So it is explaining this concept, you know. That sometimes this happens, say you got an imam sahab, right? And he's doing his job well. Namaz time is proper, he's doing it very well. He's got a maktab to teach, he's teaching well, right? One day, one odd mistake he made, right? He maybe used himself incorrectly. He blew his top, or he used some vulgar language, or he did something wrong, right? Now because of this one wrong that he's done, now you won't, not going to brush him with that, you're not going to paint him with that brush. Because of two reasons. One is look at the good and the contribution that he has made for this community. Number two, you can't do what he's doing. You can't do what he's doing. Right? For you to look for a suitable replacement is going to be difficult. So, neither are you going to do it, neither is someone else going to do it. So that whole thing will be on a standstill until the Hazrat will find a replacement. I mean, you have to understand, he's got feelings, he'll make a mistake, slowly, gradually, peacefully, work nicely, how to correct the person, bring the person on track, bring him on course again. But now he must fight, make a noise, commotion, complications, do all these things here. But what are you going to get? Can you do that work? You can't do that work. He's doing that work, alright, he's making a mistake, we don't say that what he's doing is right. But now, are we supposed to be shouting this? Can't we use our brain that what he's doing, you can't find a replacement for what he's doing. He's delivering well, namaz time he's there, right? The children are being taken good care of. I can see now, the talim is going very well. The akhlaq of the children are coming up. Yes, he did something wrong, we will not accept the wrong. But we're not going to smash him down so badly that we've got no replacement. But I ask you, don't you use the same principle in your business? If you've got a business, and the salesman is doing very well, he's got a very, not, in the meanwhile, he must have had a run-in with his wife, right? He smashed her down, he hit her, broken nose, got a police case filed against him. Now because of that, will you dismiss him from his work? Will you dismiss him? When he's doing very well, you can't find a suitable replacement, will you dismiss him from the work? You will not agree with his type of behavior, but you're not going to dismiss him as well. Now, you know, sometimes our minds become so refined, you know, so refined, small little thing, we don't want to tolerate it. So this is on account of us not speaking to our elder. Someone, this elder, experience, see life from a broader perspective, see from other angles, what good this person is doing, can I do it? I need my freedom, I need my space. Every now and then I need to go for Umrah, run out, there. This imam is stuck here, he's doing the job. At least looking after the whole town. Right? Right? Alright, we don't agree with the wrongs that he's doing. But now, should we now, you know, pick out every fault of his? Should we do that? So anyway, we're talking of the student. And I say, the townspeople, now they feel, alright, some good work carrying on here. What can I do? Alright, there's about 10, 15 students that didn't find a boarding, didn't find any feeding. So what I will do is I will take 5 students, I will look after them. Right? I will take these 5 students. I will look after them every day. I will give them their lunch and their supper. They will come once in the day. They will take their meals and they will go away. So they sort it out for themselves. Meanwhile, that child will become a hafiz, he'll become a molara, he'll become a mufti sahab one day. But whatever good he's doing, my luck, and he will do something, he'll turn things around. At least I got a sawab, I got a share in what he's doing. So this is how they would look at it in India. So this young student now, he's got some handsome features, nice build, fair complexion, features are very good looking. So one day he comes to Hazrat Thani Sahib, he says, you know, you arranged for me for that feeding at a certain woman's home. Come tomorrow, I hold my ears, I'm not going there. First day, today is the last day, I'm not going there. Bhai, kya ho gaya? What happened? So, no, you know, there's a woman there, and she's about my age. Right? So she came to deliver the food today, and she proposed to me for marriage. She's good looking as well, I saw her. She's good looking as well, and she proposed for me in marriage, and she's quite well to do. And she's offered everything, you know, you get married, and we'll sort everything out for you. So Hazrat, I'm not going there from tomorrow. Now Hazrat is testing him out. You see, like I say, you open the person. Opening the person, seeing now what's within the person, and you know how to work with the person. Why is he declining the offer? Is it not for some personal reason? What is in his mind? Let's try and explore what's in his mind. So Hazrat tells him, but what's wrong if you accept the proposal? It's a sunnah. Number two, you're a poor student. You need a boarding afterwards. Number three, you didn't ask for it. It came on your plate. So what? Isn't this a favor of Allah Ta'ala? See now, Allah is turning him around, he's spinning him. He's testing him out now, what's his mind like? Allah, no, with all your explanation, all the barakah to you, but I'm not accepting this. But why are you turning this offer down? Allah said, see what will happen. The word will go around in this whole town. The students are coming here, are they coming to learn or are they coming to get married here? This is the word that will go around. So I will bring a disgrace to the madrasa. And a disgrace to a madrasa is disgrace to deen. So I will not do this thing here because of this reason. So Hazrat congratulated, complimented, mashallah, mashallah, mashallah. See. So when I came out, Hazrat got to know exactly what was in his child's mind. And then when that was in his mind was right, so he gave him a compliment. So we're talking of Jannat. What is Jannat? No problem. The problem free zone. No need. I don't need you. You don't need me. Absolutely, completely free. But we can make this world also, make it like Jannat. We can make this world like Jannat, coming to the masjid like Jannat. We're not in anybody's way, nobody's in our way. If anybody came on our way, then we're not blowing our talk, right? Now, we didn't expect him to do something like this. But anyway, by the way, he came in, so what? Maybe he intended right, but he miscalculated, he parked his car incorrectly, and I needed to go out, alright, I mustn't blow my top out. Never mind, make mark, and don't tell him anything. Maybe if I shout him, then he will leave coming to the masjid. What I'm doing is right, I'm correcting him, what I'm doing is right. But he doesn't have the capacity to accept. When he doesn't have the capacity to accept, now I'm going to smash him down, he'll leave coming out to the masjid. Now what have I done? I have decreased the Muslim population. One Imam Sahib, he saw his Hafiz Sahib there, and he's raising his voice in the masjid, talking a little bit loudly. So the Imam Sahib reprimanded him. He said, yeah, just because you are Hafiz, so you feel you can raise your voice in the masjid. So his bhai ne to masjid mein aane hi ko band kar diya. He stopped coming to the masjid. See, I was reprimanded, I was disgraced, so I stopped coming to the masjid. Hazrat says that as the person that left coming to the masjid, he was wrong in coming to the masjid, in stopping coming to the masjid, or he was wrong in raising his voice, then this person who spoke in that harsh manner, he's also sinful. If he's sinful, then he's also sinful. What was your approach? How do you attend to that person? So everybody's capacity is not the same. Someone got a bigger capacity, someone got a smaller capacity, someone is very refined, someone is not too refined. So now you need to look into all these things here, and then work with the person, you get better results. But now you want to paint everybody with the same brush, treat everybody same, it's not the right thing. So this will amount to dealings. How do we deal with people? Our business, our interaction, our socializing, how do we socialize, how do we work with people? Now this is very integral part of Islam. Though people take it lightly, but it's a very integral, very important aspect of Islam. And the reason had come to Medina Munawwara, right? As he's come to Medina Munawwara, and the people of Medina Munawwara were guilty of fraud, fraudulent in the dealings. Fraudulent in which way? When they had to receive their dues, they would ensure they're taking their dues fully. I need to have my payment at this time and this amount. So I'm making sure that I'm taking my amounts in the right time. There's no delay, there's no deferred payments, and I'm getting my full amounts. Whatever is due to me, I'm getting it full. But when وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But when I have to see people's obligations, and I'm not giving their dues, I'm not doing it fully, or I'm delaying the payment. My payment on time and full. But when I need to pay you, then I'm not paying you as I'm required to pay you. I'm paying you less, or I'm defaulting in the payment, right? You know, where we're staying in Surat, you know, in the house there. So, opposite us was a mill. So, what people will do, they bring their grains. He's got a machine, and he will grind them. So, umpteen times you hear this complaint, that they must add something into the grain. Add a store or something, small pebbles, to add the weight, and to do some fraud. See, to do some fraud, there are some little tiny stones, they'll add it to it and sell it to the customer. So, this type of practice is in vogue for a very long period. Now too, but it's in a different form. It's all fraud. It's in different forms, different ways. High profile people will do it in high profile ways. Low profile will do it in low profile. But they will do it. Somehow or the other they will do it. And Allah Ta'ala knows everything. يَوْمَ تُبُلَ السَّرَائِرُ. When all the secrets were revealed, يَوْمَ تُبُلَ السَّرَائِرُ, all what was concealed, what was not known, what was not coming into the eye of the public, that will become absolutely clear, visible. يَوْمَ تُبُلَ السَّرَائِرُ. So this people, we are guilty of this. So when Nabi Sallallahu stepped into Medina Munawwara, he realized this, and these verses were revealed. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اتَّالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. So Allah says, make one statement. أَلَا يَزُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Just one statement Allah makes. Don't they know that they will stand, they have to stand before Allah Ta'ala to render an account before Allah Ta'ala. But this ayat being revealed, it was enough for the people of Medina Munawwara, 1400 years till today. 1400 years ago, until today, up to this day, it's proverbial about the people of Medina Munawwara, if they have to give you a commodity, something more. I have to give you 1 kilo, then 2 ounces more, 20, 30 grams more. But I won't give you just 2 kilos. I'll make sure I give you a little more than what I'm expected to give. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw someone doing his ruku and sajdas incorrectly, just going through the motion. Ruku sajda, like he's doing press-ups. So, Umar radiallahu anhu says, لَقَدْ تَفَّفْتَ. You are guilty of fraud. Imam Malik rahmatullahi, he quotes this in his kitab, Muwatta Imam Malik, and he says, أَتَّتْفِيفُ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That this fraud is applicable to every situation, not only in weighing and measure. We think it's only in weighing and measure, but it's applicable across the board, right through. You're not doing namaz was an obligation that was owed to Allah Ta'ala. It was due to Allah Ta'ala. So you didn't give Allah Ta'ala's due. This was what you owed him, right? For all the good that he has done for you, this is what you have to do for him. But you didn't do it. If your dues are outstanding, how much don't you feel? How bad don't you feel? If someone didn't do it right, pray. Forget about doing it right. If the wife didn't serve the food to you right, it wasn't hot, garam garam. The roti wasn't garam garam from the tawa onto your plate, right? One day he said, aaj to maine sabr kar liya. I mean, a lot of sabr. Second, third day, what happened? She's giving cold food, curry khichdi. But she got from last morning, you know, yesterday, she got out of the fridge, the Hazrat list of foods. So one day you heard the bayat, Hazrat bayat and all that, she'll make sabr. You know, just make sabr and all that. So, second day, what happened? Sabr ka peymana labrez ho jayega. You know, the cup of patience will overflow. You can't manage it now. It's the second day. If your dues you're so particular about, then the dues of Allah Ta'ala, aren't you supposed to be doing it right, correctly, perfectly, completely? The due is wuzu, for example. Are you doing it correctly? Or are you making some shortcuts there? Namaz is the due of Allah Ta'ala. It's an obligation owned to Allah Ta'ala. Are you doing it correctly or there's some shortcut there? Your Quran recitation is a due that you owe to Allah Ta'ala. Are you making some shortcuts there? Or are you doing it completely? But what's your due you want it complete? That man mustn't do anything. He mustn't tramp my toes. You know, Qiyamah day I'll get you. But Qiyamah day Allah won't get you. Because me, I'm above reckoning. I'm above reckoning. Allah won't get me. But you'll get this man here. See how narrow-sighted, how we are. Say, Imam Malik rahmatullah says, At-tatfifu fi kulli shay, all obligation. So, the same principle, if it is extended correctly, then you will be able to understand the whole business. Whether it's a contract, whether it's a leasing, whether it's a rental, whether it's purchase, whether it's an account, whether it's credit, whatever it was. But you're making sure that you're giving complete, right? You take whatever you need to take, but you make sure whatever is supposed to be given, you're giving it completely, you're giving it on time, you're giving it promptly. One person is showing some aggression. A creditor is showing some aggression to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sahaba Kiram can't stand this. So Nabi Sallallahu asked him, just hold on. He says, myself and this person, we needed some better type of counseling. You could have told me to be more prompt in my payment and advise him to be more gentle in his demanding. But how beautiful. Although that person didn't have the right to ask the Bishasam because he asked before the time. See, before the due time he had demanded. But in spite of that, the Bishasam explained this principle that I and this person, we were both in need for a better counsel, better advice. Me, that I should be more prompt in my payment, and he, that he should be more gentle in his approach. But you see, the Mubarak Tariqa, very, very comprehensive, complete, perfect. That's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He must be the Khatamul Anbiya, the Rahmatul Alameen for some reason. That his teaching was absolute, perfect, 100%. That is, you can't find a flaw in his teaching. No deficiency. So last, and last forever. We see a Buzruq, a great personality, right? So we want to rush to him for du'as. Hazrat, make du'a for me. Mera bachcha paida hone wala hai. Or my child is coming half years, make du'a for him. A little bit slow now, Allah, make du'a for him. So don't we do all that? We ask and we rush, go see some buzruk, some senior person, give a da'wat in the whole process, asking for some du'as for ourselves, our children. Someone needs to get married, someone needs to have good suitor. Someone not getting children, they must get children. Or the house is running, but the child or the daughter-in-law, someone is not behaving. So don't we have these problems? And don't we ask people for du'as? And I ask you, whose du'as can be more effective than the Mubarak du'a and the teaching of Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself? If you know that I am securing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's du'a, will you have any problems? Will you have any reservation? His du'a, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's du'a is directed at you. How great don't you feel? So he says, رحم الله امرا سمحا إذا باع وإذا اشترى وإذا اقتزى. When you are purchasing, when you are selling, when you are demanding your debts, etc., then you are gentle. With a gentleman approach, considerate. One person passed away in the Bani Israel. So, see, as you leave the world, right, one is the interrogation in the qabr. Then on the day of Qiyamah, there's two processes. According to Bukhari Sharif, there's two processes of call it an immigration, call it a custom, or call it a reckoning, but there's two processes. The first is between Islam and disbelief. So وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, both get separated. The kafir or the disbeliever is dispatched to Jahannam, and the Muslim is given a tarafa. He's given a passage, you carry on. But before he's admitted to Jannah, then there's a second level of reckoning, second level of immigration. Then if you have any problems, anything to settle, يُقَاسُ بَيْنَهُمْ, then that problems, those problems will have to be settled. You robbed me, you cheated me, you hit me, you were impolite, you were aggressive towards me, right? You suppressed my rights, whatever. All that will have to be settled there. Now, on the day of Qiyamah, when you're going to be settling, and you will settle, there's no rands and cents there. There's no dollars and gold there. There's no silver and pounds there. So, if you need to settle the person, how are you going to settle? Understand? If there was rands and cents, you could have settled the person, right? If there was gold and silver, you could settle with that. But there's no gold, there's no silver, there's no rand, there's no dollars, there's no pounds. Then, if you got something to settle, how are you going to settle it? So, there you will settle with your deeds. Because that's the only thing that's available to you, the only currency you've got, is your salah. No credit card, no master card, no slave card. So the only card you got is the salah card. That's the card you got to present. Now you robbed the person, you cheated the person, something happened. Either you were aggressive, you suppressed, you took advantage over the person, somehow or the other. So on the day of Qiyamah, you will settle the debts with your salah. But what will be the currency like? For one dani, according to Lama Shami Rahmatullahi, you rob the person for one dani. One dani is 1/6 of a dirham. That's approximately about 1/6 of a dirham would be about 3-4 rands. Yesterday Mutala has worked it out. So 1/6 of a dirham, that's a dani, it's approximately 4 rands, right? So if you did the person down for just 4 rands, nowadays I think if you give the beggar also 4 rands, he said, maybe you're better off. You're going to keep it yourself. It's nothing. But you did the person down just for 4 rands. So you have to pay for that 4 rands with 700 faras maqbool namazes. One is, we don't keep to our faras, right? One is, how many namaz of ours are accepted maqbool? But you did the person down just for one dani. And you have to pay that with 700 maqbool faras namaz. Imagine. You see, Allah Ta'ala Himself is Ghafoorur Rahim. You encroached on His right. So for Him to forgive is very easy. Astaghfirullah, Allah, I really messed it up. So for Allah Ta'ala to forgive is very easy. But a man to forgive, is it easy? Even if he said, I made maaf, but that is not forgotten, it's stored up in his heart somewhere. So for man to forgive completely and forget about it, is a difficult thing. And the thing that is difficult, that we are not considered. Yes, namaz etc. we are considered. I don't say we're not supposed to be. But if we are considered about this, then this is even more worthy of consideration. Rights of people. Am I aggressive to my wife, my children, my elders, my youngsters, people that come under my sway? Am I right to them or not? So, this person passed away in the Bani Israel. So now the interrogation starts off. So Allah Pak asks the Malaika, go and check the person out. No deeds to his credit, absolutely nothing. Check him out properly, see him out properly. Say, yeah. This one deed we got to his credit, that he was a wealthy person, very wealthy person, but his debt collector, he would send him with this instruction, that if you come across a wealthy person, right, that's owing me, then be gentle. Don't you extort the person, don't shout him, don't be aggressive, don't be impolite. Even though the person is wealthy, but you be polite in your approach. And if it is a poor person, then just wave it off. Just wave it off. You know, I came across that hadith, one strange thought passed my mind. Very strange thought passed my mind. Allah give me the tawfiq and all of us the tawfiq. In fact, two thoughts passed my mind. One thought passed my mind, is, I think all of us, none of us can say we are really poor. And the proof that we are not poor, can any of us say that there was 124 hours in our lives, and we had no roof, and we had no meals? We can't say 124, so we are alright. All of us had food, all of us had a roof, right? So we are alright. You know, there are sahaba eating one khajur, and carry on. No, we're not like that. We can't say that we are poor. Right? Now, just our approach towards business must change as we change. That's the thing I was trying to get across to you. That our approach towards business, I don't say it's haram and halal. What I'm all talking about is the approach to business must change. And how must our approach to business change? Whether it's an occupation, whether it's business, whether it's whatever type of business and transaction we are doing, our approach must change. See, our approach presently is, how can I do better? I need 10 million, so 10 billion. I need 10 billion, then 10 trillion. 10 trillion, then 10 gazillion. This is how we project it. Now, our project must just change. Our project must change. How can I do it? The best conformity to the Sunnah. Allah gave me so much. Now, for so long I'm in business, 30 years, I'm already 40, 45 years of age, 50 years of age, and I'm so long in business. So, Allah saw me so well, you know, for all the years. Now, let me try and include the Sunnah into my business. Where can I do it? Improve it. Improve the quality of the business, right? Now, as the quality improves, you'll see a quality in your action, you'll see a quality in your domestic life, you'll see a quality in your children, because there's a quality, the food that is coming in now is quality. The food, that the intake is a quality, right? So, when there's a quality, then there'll be a quality in your home. Now there's peace in your home. There's mahabbat and enjoyment in your home. There's happiness and joy all around, because you are looking for a quality. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah wants to see whose actions is more beautiful. So, business, dealings, financing is one type of a deal, one type of an action, right? We can't do without this, right? When we can't do without this, we are going to do it, then let's try and beautify it. Let's try and make it more and more Sunnah compliant. What must I do? What can I do to make it more Sunnah compliant? To make it more in conformity with the style of the Sahaba Kiram. What can I do? This person in the Bani Israel, he did this much. But you go and when you go to that debtor that is wealthy, then you be lenient towards him. The poor person, then wipe the debt off. Today's accountant, if you go and talk to him, he says, it's not making business sense, you know. You must get your money out. Sorry for that. Right? He says, it's not making business sense. It's not making business sense, but it's making akhirat sense. It's making the sunnah sense. Right? You are gaining some proximity with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala gave you so much. So, say Allah Ta'ala, you know, I want to come in peace with you. I want to bring about a new color into this. And as a token, I want to do it as a token. For all the years, Allah, you did, you know, so well for me. Everything, I was respected, I was honored in my children, in my finances, everything, Allah, you took care. Now, I need to add some color to this. The past is past. Whatever mistakes, golmaal I made in the past, Allah, you cover it with your forgiveness. But for the future now, let me try and beautify. Let me add some color to this. Let me add some beauty to this. How would he have done this? How would the Sahaba Kiram do it? Let me do it perfect, without any flaw. Now, there are so many incidents. I'm just thinking in my mind now, which incident to start off, just to complete, just to explain this concept, you know, how they conducted themselves. Or let's talk about doubtful things. See, one is a clear area, one is a doubtful area. So that's an important, it's an important standard in deen. دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكْ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكْ. Leave out those things that are of a doubtful nature. Working out a plan, everybody can do it. Working out a plan, strategizing. But sometimes you get landed with a bigger problem. See, Nabi Samad cursed the Bani Israel. The Jews were cursed. Why they were cursed? حَرَّمْنَا عَلِيمْ شُعُومَهُمَا. Right? The fats of animals was made haram for them. Fat of animals was made haram. So this is, let's strategize, let's make a plan. So fat they couldn't eat, so haram, declared forbidden, they can't eat it. Like how swine, so fat was also declared as impermissible haram for them. So what they did, they went and melted the fat. So when the thing is melted, now you don't call it shuhum, now you call it wadak. Like how you say fat and oil, right? So when you talk of an oil, and what's in your mind? Something that is liquid, right? You talk of a fat, something that is solid, right? That's how you talk about it. In a scientific terminology, it may be different, but in our general usage of the word, fat is something solid, and oil is something that is liquid, right? So they boiled the thing, they made it into a liquid, and they sold it and they ate that man. So that because of that, they were cursed. So they tried to play around with words. Wine in a different bottle, in a new packaging, they tried to halalize the whole thing. Now, this is a problem in this time, that we try and halalize, somehow make it halal this way, put this thing together, aage piche karo, and make the thing halal. Instead of going through this whole process of trying to make it halal, etc., this doesn't seem to be in the spirit of this, of the Sharia. See, one is to look for a strategy that doesn't defeat the ends of the Sharia, and one is to look for a strategy that defeats the end of the Sharia. Sharia has got some certain end, certain goals, and you're defeating the end of the Sharia. See, so this is something that is very much disgusting. The Jews were cursed because of this. You're defeating the ends of the Sharia. An example to illustrate, you're defeating the ends of the Sharia. Right? For example, you say, all right, Ramadan, and it is for us to fast, right? So I'm finding it too difficult to fast. You know, 30 rozas consecutively, too difficult. And now Durban is coming into summer, so the rozas are going to shoot up to 17 and a half hours, right? So now I'm finding it very difficult. You know what I'll do? Maybe I'll go to London some years later. In winter, I'll keep all the qazas, you know. Because there in winter, the rozas in Ireland sometimes, you know, right? Winter, midwinter is about 5 hours. So I'll shoot it there. Now, what I'll do, how to overcome this? Because the Quran Sharif says, you won't suffer when you're on a journey. You can omit the roza. So Ramzan, I'll go for a holiday, for a break, so I don't have to keep rozas. The qazas I can keep in Ireland, in midwinter I can keep it there, right? So I ask you, are you defeating the end of the Sharia or not? This is not defeating squarely, purely, and defeating the end of the Sharia. This is haram, impermissible. Now the strategies in this day, this is what's happening, that we left out the insurance, went to takaful, for example, right? So besides a change of names, you change some names around here and there, and you made the whole thing halal, and our people think of this proper Islamic product. They don't know, they don't understand. It's just a change of words, and with a change of words, you made something look like halal. So making it look like halal doesn't make it halal. You made it look like halal, but making it look like halal doesn't make it halal. The Jews, they did the same thing. They made the oil look like halal, but making it look like halal, does it make it halal? So one important area to understand, you know, to bring this in conformity with the Sunnah, in the spirit of the Sunnah, get the spirit of the Sunnah into the business. Make that niyat. At least you start off. You can't start off 100%. Say you have 5 businesses. Say at least start off with 1 business. In 1 business, I will do it perfect. No anky-panky, nothing of a grey area, nothing ambiguous. I'll do it absolutely in the spirit of the Sunnah. And see, the same Allah Ta'ala that gave you, when you are doing ambiguous, you think He will leave you out when you're doing it straight. He will take care of you. But make that intention, make that resolve, instead of going more and more strategizing after strategizing, one strategy after the other strategy. I say, no, enough is enough. Allah, you took good care of me, more than what I deserve. Now, I owe it to you that I'm not going to do it this any longer. And if you can't do it in one stroke, then gradually space yourself out. You hear of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullahi, you hear of all of them. The greatest contribution they've made for the century, about the greatest contribution. But now you know how this thing stems off, how it starts off. Now look at an ancestor in their family, Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi. I want to show you, illustrate this point of doubtful area. So as you eat, will be the product. Then the product will go right throughout the world. Right? You eat right, you earn right, and the product comes right, and the whole product, Allah makes it so pure that for generations it carries on. Almost 100 years, I think. The work is flourishing, whether in a madrasa, whether in the kitab, which are the form, but it's flourishing. But now, someone had really, really paid for this. Now, look at an ancestor, Mawlana Muzaffar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. He's traveling, from Delhi to his town Kandla. So in the old days, there's no other transport. If there's a transport, then it's a bullock, you know, a bull with a little bit of a cart that he's taking. So he's got his luggage, whatever, and then he asks for someone to lease him the bullock. So the driver takes him. So Buzurgan al-Din, they talk to people according to their levels. They won't talk at very high levels. The type of person he is, coming from a simple background, let me talk to him in his language. How are you? Or what work are you doing? So this is the type of language they will talk to him. So he asked him, oh, this is your occupation, yes. Who are you working for? So he felt that there was a little bit of a hesitation. And then he says, you know, this company of mine belongs to a company of loose women. You know what I'm referring to, right? This is the type of syndicate that runs this company. So he heard this, now he's sitting on that cart. As he heard this, he allowed the thing to carry on for another three, four steps. And this, you know, I just need to go and relieve myself, please. You know, he stopped the cart, he went and relieved himself. So, as he relieved himself, now, the shlevel traveled to Kandla. They have just completed about quarter of the road, and now three quarter of the road has to be still completed. At least about 40 Ks has to be completed. So Mohan said, you know what, mujhe peshabs ke katraat saaf karne hai. You know, istibra, the urine drops, I need to clear that. Let me take a walk for that thing, clear. That ended now, this person is saying, well, not that drops must be ended now. So now you can jump on. So no, you know, I sat so long, so my legs are all getting a little bit stiff now. Let me just loosen up. So he carried on for a couple of good kilometers. Now he says to Hazrat Muhammad Muzaffar Sahib, Hazrat, main samajh gaya ki tum baithenge nahi. Aur meri galti ho gayi ki maine bata diya ki kiska hai. I showed you who it belongs to. So you're not going to sit here now. So pay me, let me go back. No. I'll pay you full. I'll take you right to Kandla. Whatever I need to feed the animal, I'll feed. I'll pay you for the full journey. Because now, Muhammad is thinking to himself, right? Had I not taken his services, someone else who have used him and paid him full. Now I've taken his services, I'm taking, sending him back, so I'm not going to pay him full. Let him complete the journey, let him get that full remuneration, and he can feel satisfied. He doesn't feel, you know, upset at what has happened to him. Now, look at this. What you are in doubt of, leave it out. That's what the poet says. Darkaf, barkaf, jame sharia. War barkaf sandan ishq. Barkaf jame shariat. War barkaf sandan ishq. In one hand, you are upholding the sharia, right? In the other hand, you are upholding the tasawuf. In other words, the science of love. You know, love to Allah Ta'ala. Love for Allah Ta'ala. So, on one hand, you are holding the laws of the sharia. On the other hand, you are balancing the laws of love. Har hawasnake, every person can't balance the both. If he'll hold this thing here, then he'll be whacking the person that side. If he's too much in ishq and muhabbat, then he's compromising on the sharia. But to be able to balance the both, you're balancing and respecting the laws of the sharia, and you're respecting that person, you're not hurting the person anyway, you got the love also, love of Allah Ta'ala, and accordingly the love of people, you got it at that level that you are holding firm to the sharia and you're holding firm to the laws of love, then every person can't balance it so well. Barkaf jam sharia or barkaf sandanish. You know, so beautifully they say. Just want to repeat the thing. So one is this doubtful area, anything of a doubtful character, a doubtful nature. And we just say, you know, as a token of appreciation to Allah Ta'ala for all that what He has done for me in the past, now from now onwards, I'm not going to do it. I say, if you can't go get there at once, in one stroke, then start off the journey. At least if you died in trying, you know, you died trying, Allah Ta'ala will still look at you favorably. But this person wanted conformity with my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Although he couldn't reach 100%, but he tried. He didn't take my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lightly. He didn't take my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sunnah casually. He took it very serious. And he tried. He couldn't do it fully, but he definitely did try. Allah Hafiz.